Welcome, everyone. This is Reddit Talk 9 or Reddit Talk 10. I am joined here by JD. My name is Bob Akairi, and we have a special guest today, the Duke's Mayo Bowl, specifically Mayo Yoho, who has been with the Bowl for many years. Miller, thank you for joining us.
Guys, I have a guava Sao Paulo LaCroix. I have a blackberry non-caffeinated tea, and I'm ready to talk for at least an hour. No, I've prepared. We've been at events all day. I am tired, so I am well hydrated and ready to go.
Fantastic. I am all geared up and ready to go. I've got my water and I've got my wonderful cracking up pecan porter from 903 Brewers. Not a sponsor of the show yet, but they're from my wife's hometown and I absolutely love them. Bobak, what are you drinking tonight?
Just a bit of Lafroy 10-year. It's one of my go-tos. Just a couple of fingers of that, just to relax and unwind after another day of holidays with my in-laws. But we're not really that kind of show. But yeah, it's unfortunately the stereotype, the cliche is true. But we want to go ahead and get started. We have, oh my gosh, so many questions. First of all, Miller, I gotta ask, how long have you been with the Bowl?
That is a complicated question. I started in 2014, so I've been the Georgia Louisville year, and so I worked for the Charlotte Sports Foundation, and I worked full time to 2016, and then I've maintained the social media account since. But in 2016, I went to an advertising agency, and then I did my own thing, and then I went to a video production company, and then as of June 1st, 2021, I came back to the Charlotte Sports Foundation in a full time expanded role. Just in time for our Georgia Clemson, App State ECU, ACC championship game, and now the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Just when you thought you were out, they pulled you back in.
One last job that just keeps getting bigger and bigger and more exciting.
That's great. So I, from your perspective, how has the bowl changed in those years? What are some of the things that those of us who just obviously tune in to enjoy good football, what do we not see? How has it changed for you and what you've seen inside behind the scenes?
Oh man, that's a question I have not gotten before, and that's really good. Obviously, we've added in the Big Ten, which alternates on even years. So we had Wisconsin last year. So that's a big addition. And I think adding a new sponsor in Duke's Mayo, these are two easy answers. But those have one expanded the bowl to a new audience. But also Duke's Mayo moving from Belk was fantastic and great partners. And in fact, we still work with them. The players will be going to Belk tomorrow. But Duke's Mayo is just such a unique brand in terms of sponsoring a bowl game that when they were first announced, I didn't see the fit. And now it's as perfect as can be, and it's just kind of perfectly, I guess, just unique to college football. So that's been the big thing, is being able to play with mayonnaise has been a big difference maker in terms of marketing.
So, and I remember we had kind of a sidebar a few weeks ago. Getting the opportunity to dunk a head coach, and both head coaches, as far as I know, have agreed to this. Could you talk about that process? Because there was a lot going on to kind of get those logistics all set.
Yeah, this has been probably 14 months in the making, and both coaches have confirmed they're going to do it, have said it multiple times, and are in fact excited. Like, we've approached them this week, they've been super pumped. So we started talking about, like, maybe November of last year about doing the Mayo dump. It wasn't going to happen that year. We talked about packets, things like that, because it was a natural grass field and the Panthers were playing after us. Perfectly reasonable explanations. So we did a fake Mayo dump, and people were passionate in their response to that. I'm very appreciative that Graham Mertz broke the trophy immediately afterwards, and it was like the perfect distraction from the lack of a Mayo bath. And the first thing we said was, we can never do that again. So that kind of hatched the idea of how do we do it in a very unique way. So we tied the charitable component to it. So the winning team will get $10,000 to the charity of their choice, and that's coming straight from Duke's Mayo. So speaks highly to who they are as people. And we want it to be unique in terms of how we're doing it. So it's not going to be players picking up the jar and dumping on the coach. Rather, we're actually going to do the post-game ceremony, and then we're going to take the coach. We're going to sit him in a chair and, like, make him take it, like, dumped over his head. He can't avoid it, run away from it, all that. And we think that that's just, look, the coach is getting mayonnaise dumped on him. There's charitable component, and we can begin to create our own tradition doing it like this. And I think it's going to be really unique. And we've been trying all the different ways, and this is the best way that protects the field. It gets the coach the messiest way, the messiest as possible. And I think it's something that can, like, I want to build a throne next year. Like, that's on my to-do list, is how do we build, like, a giant mayo dumping throne?
I'm trying to, I mean,
so is this
some lineman from having to take one for the team and just kind of bear hug the coach as the other players kind of hit them with whatever's in the cooler. JD, you wanted to
JD, I'll let you go. But there's one thing is I've seen, like, we've been testing. So we have a great partner in Bespoke who's like a local marketing agency and do activations, and they've, like, been testing it, and it's their job. So we've narrowed it down. It's just a bit of water, but it has to be whipped up really good. And, like, of the tests I've seen, like, I keep getting videos sent to my phone. Like, it's the perfect consistency. It's like 2/3, like, pouring substance and then some chunks. So it's going to be really good.
You got to love it. It's a mayo scientists.
Absolutely. And, you know, Miller, I saw a little bit earlier today from the official Duke's Mayo account, something going down with a mayo throne. Does this have any kind of relation with that specific dunking of a coach for after this game?
No, they've been doing this promotion all year where they've been, like, on a twang tour. So they've been going to different places throughout the country and, like, introducing people to Duke's Mayo. And it actually started around the Duke's Mayo Classics, the two games we had to kick off this season, where they've been doing, like, promotions and things like that. And it's been, like, an enter to win contest. And there are people who will be able to sit in a replica Duke's Mayo jar on the sidelines. So pretty cool. It's a unique spin on the best seat in the house, I would say.
So today we saw some clips on the official Bowl Twitter account talking about the experience at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. What's that been like for the players? How long have they been doing that?
We've done it all 20 years. All 19 years. Last year, obviously, we did not do it due to that stage of the pandemic. And then there's 1 year it rained and we had, like, players out in, like, Honda Civics. But we essentially... Like, people think Speedway, they're just, like, kind of going, you know, on cars, going, you know, 60, 70 to see what the sides are. We put them in actual stock cars, and they go 160, 170 miles an hour. They go in through the windows. They go for two laps. It is funny. You'll see players who go in who know what NASCAR is are super excited, and, like, they're extremely thrilled. This is, like, a thrill of a lifetime. And then you have players who have no idea what it is. They get in the car, and it is – the fear of a lifetime. And it's, like, completely equal sets of adrenaline, but coming from different places. But the reaction of them getting out, like, the players are, like, it is remarkable to see, like, how much they are shaking afterwards. And my unique joy in doing this since 2014 is watching men that are over 300 pounds climb in through a side window.
I do see that the Charlotte Motor Speedway is also listening on here. So I do have a question for you about how this partnership first came about. So was this something that Charlotte Motor Speedway originally reached out to you and said, hey, we want to be a part of this? Was this something that you reached out and said, hey, we want to show off Charlotte, and this is a really cool way that we can do it? How does this type of partnership begin, and how do you use those type of partnerships for other events as well?
Yeah, that's a phenomenal question. So we work with, like, the different driving schools in the area. But I will say Charlotte Motor Speedway, who's out there today helping capture social, who's been a tremendous partner, they're actually on our board. So if you look at the Charlotte Sports Foundation, we have essentially the who's who of business executives on our board. So it's kind of a natural partnership. So we're, you know, always looking to help support them. And then, like, when it comes to our events, they're out there promoting it for us. So that kind of, my boss always, Danny Morrison, talks about the synergy of all the entities of Charlotte. Like, that's actually true. It's, we work well with the Panthers. We work well with the Hornets. We're constantly doing, in the Speedway, we're constantly working well with other sports entities. It's not just kind of paying lip service.
What would you say with other partnerships that you have? Charlotte Motor Speedway obviously being a big one, Carolina Panthers being another big mm-hmm. one. What would you say for the Charlotte Sports Foundation, you would say other very important partnerships would be to get a Bowl Week to happen?
Yeah, I'd say like CRVA, which is our Charlotte Regional Visitors Authority, like they help a ton with, you know, logistics, things like that. Things like Charlotte Department of Transportation, how do we do bus movements? CMPD, which is police, how do we move buses? You know, we can get the players from uptown to the Speedway in 15 minutes or 20 minutes because we have police escorts and even like safety and things like that. And there's also like unique partnerships with like marketing agencies and different entities throughout town who have been invested in the game for 20 years who help us put it on. And I think that's something that this was a kind of the disappointing thing about last year is only having 1500 people. This year we're only going to be like 10 or 15,000 people away from 1 million fans at the game. And that would have been just a perfect way to announce 20 years. But next year we'll announce the 1 million fans coming to the game. And that couldn't really be possible without all the different random entities that all come together to support this game. And the sidebar to it and kind of our main talking points as someone who's worked in works in PR is this pandemic has affected so many people. And I think the hospitality industry is that could be at the top of the list of most affected when it comes to restaurant workers, hotels, things like that. And what we saw from our kickoff games is these games matter because they put people in the hotel rooms as restaurants. And that's where we see like the food and service industry and the hotel industry so supportive of our games.
I noticed that tomorrow you're going to be having an event with the Second Harvest program. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite nonprofits in Charlotte, just personally. Essentially, they are one of the most efficient ways to help your community. They will take what we do is we take the players, and tomorrow we'll be taking a lot of staff members where we will, a lot of kids in Charlotte and in America are on free or reduced lunch. And there's a big gap in feeding them on the weekends was when they go home, they don't have that. So what we do is help pack 2,000 to 3,000 bags to take home with local students who can have that food to kind of bridge the gap until they get back to school. And also, I'll give a shout out to Second Harvest. For every dollar you donate to that particular food bank, that's 7 pounds of food. So it's just a really, really efficient way to give back to your community. And they're just fantastic people.
Now, Miller, you've been at this for quite some time and running the Twitter account for the Bowl back when it was Belk and now that it's Duke's Mayo Bowl. One thing that always struck us was how loose you were allowed to operate compared to some of the other bowls where, you know, you get the, I hate to say corporate soulless, but you know, it's just not interesting unless you're really, really into that bowl. It's some plain facts, but you've always seemed to have this opportunity to play fast and loose. And now we're seeing more sponsors, more bowls do that. I mean, I can't help but think of that Wild Easy Post situation where they were the Hawaii Bowl sponsor and they ran with it when the bowl got canceled. And I hope yours doesn't either. But obviously, I mean, what can you talk about that? Because you were one of the first bowls we ever saw that really just seemed to be having fun with the idea of social media.
Yeah, I think that's, and kudos to other bowls who are finding their voices and realizing that just posting out tickets isn't going to sell tickets. In the end, that's what we're trying to do, or we're trying to get people to watch or be interested. But in 2014, the introduction of the college football playoff changed everything, obviously from top down in the sport. But we also realized, like, we had to build affinities because we had the SEC tie-in starting then. We had to build affinities with new fan bases. We had to get old fan bases to be excited because you weren't going to know what bowl you're going to until Selection Sunday. So why not just be a part of, like, don't try to force ticket sales or force branding on people. Instead, be a part of the conversation in this weird sport. I've spent a lot of time thinking about this sport is community-based, whether it's your school, whether it's the Reddit community, whether it's whatever community you're part of, that's where it is. It's not just something where you're just like, this is my team and this is it, and that's your tribe. There's so many other little communities. So what we try to do is speak those languages and also recognize that those are unique and respect them. And like, we don't want to ever like just flame out places. Instead, we just want to be a part of the conversation and celebrate the fact that we cheer on 18 to 22 year old men in tights who play a sport with a weird shaped ball. Like, in the end, we're a bowl game who wants to have fun, have people come to Charlotte, have Charlotte benefit from that, and then in the end, make a memorable moment, whether it's a ridiculous touchdown or, you know, a cooler full of mayonnaise being dumped on people.
I love hearing all that, especially that line about the actual sport that we always celebrate. I say this to my friends all the time, that at the end of the day, these are a bunch of 18 to 22 year old men just trying to push a leather ball down the field across a white line. And I love the fact that you've leaned in hard into that silliness of the sport. But I'm curious, you were one of the first early adopters of social media and taking on that silliness. What was the biggest challenge in going into that concept of, we have a silly sport, we're going to lean into this? What kind of challenges did you have, and what did you do to overcome those challenges?
Other than telling my boss at the time to not get Twitter, and now our current executive director does have a Twitter account, and I do not know what it is, but I just know occasionally I get like a thumbs up emoji, which is a very like scary thing to like hit send on a weird tweet and then just get a text from your boss. But I would say just getting people to buy in and understanding there was like road bumps and things like that. There's like fan bases who would get frustrated, and I'd have to explain like, hey, this is an anonymous troll account. Like, they're not going to be happy. Like, the fact that they're engaging with us is better than them just ignoring us, because it just brings up our, you know, engagement. And then also at the same time, we know we're making traction in this fan base. So I think there's a lot of like education. And then also what's been important is backing it with the numbers. Like, I do have a little bit of an analytics background and can bring in like, this is what our performance is like. And I think comparatively, you know, even to the bigger New York Six Bulls, we probably have higher engagement rates than them, just because we understand how to speak to college, you know, college football fans.
I have a lot of respect for the Rose Bowl, but I don't foresee them going quite as hog wild as you have over the years. I mean, they're going to be the last one to ever do anything interesting, because they are the Rose Bowl, and they're just very, very buttoned up. They're great people, but
I just looked at it. We are 17,300 followers. It looks like below them in Twitter. And the day we pass them, I will just tweet out a bunch of roses. Only people in here will know what's happening. But that's a dream of mine, is to pass the Rose Bowl. And then we can call ourselves the granddaddy of Twitter football or whatever.
I can only imagine that. And I'm glad you haven't had your boss send you a question like, what does being ratioed mean? And why do my kids say that we're being ratioed?
Oh God, we try to avoid that. And that's I think I've done a pretty good job. And there's like two rules on Twitter, is like, never post something like you'd have to like really apologize to your grandmother about. And like, always keep in mind, there's a sponsor you need to make sure is happy.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of sponsors and bowl games, I know that you have leaned hard into silliness before, but there's been a new entry this year from a bowl game that didn't even happen. I know that you're firmly aware of the Hawaii Bowl and Easy Posts work into that. What is your perspective on a first-time bowl sponsor leaning into that silliness and just going whole hog into the idea of, we don't even have a bowl game, but we're going to lean into this?
I mean, they handled it the best they could. I've never seen a sponsor have a personality like that. So kudos to them. Kudos to whoever's running that account. Like, and they are the darlings of college football Twitter right now, just for how they approached it. I will say they tried to start beef with us. The beef has been squashed, and there will be ceremonial gifts sent between parties. So in the off season, you'll see us making amends and being in a good place. But I mean, what else? This is the weirdest environment the sport has existed in, maybe, or at least in modern times. So being able to roll with it, being able to adjust, being able to do whatever, and then also being able to, I mean, their job is to promote their brand. And what have they done but do, like, they've hit that the nail on the head the past few days.
I promised we would at least go over some of the comments that came in the announcement post that we had on Reddit RCFB. They're mostly just statements, so I'll just read them off real quick because they're kind of amusing. Carolina fan, loose with the truth, I should say South Carolina fan, loose with the truth, said, I like to dip my fries in mayo. I hope we get to dip our coach in mayo too. LA, another South Carolina fan, LA243 said, can you ask the mayonnaise jar if South Carolina can have an auto bid to the Mayo Bowl from here on out in case we go 5-7 next year?
I mean, we have them in a lot of kickoff games. We have them back in 2023, so they'll be in Charlotte a lot.
Exciting. Here's my favorite. Whichever team wins, and this is from South Carolina fan Wahoo 20, whichever team wins needs a giant inflatable mayo jar to live on their state capitol grounds, I assume for the rest of the year, between mayo bowls. I think that would be a hilarious trophy, but of course, knowing the luck, we'll end up with Clemson versus South Carolina the year that happens. But I guess that's a win-win.
Yeah, there you go. South Carolina's getting an inflatable helmet. No, I like that idea a lot. We should do something, or like secretly hide something on state capitol ground. Don't put that past me. Yeah, that's a good idea.
So we brought up the participants, and I'm also curious on this. Is there a whole lot of selection that the bowl game gets to also have when it comes to the actual teams? I know you have obligations to the conferences, and there's a pecking order to that. But when you looked at teams, was there something that you got to say, North Carolina is available, South Carolina is available, we're going to make this a battle of Carolinas? Or is that something the conference comes and says, hey, use these two teams?
Yeah, I'll first off say I'm not the person in the room, though I'm fairly close to the room. I sometimes stand outside the room while the phone call is happening.
Fair.
Yeah, I'm getting closer, but I don't want to ever be that guy. We do have some saying. It's different. Each conference works differently. And the bowl structure, obviously, would call it CFP, near six, and then there's like a higher tier one, and then us. It's not people still have a lot of the same thought process that it's 2013 and the sixth place in the SEC and the seventh place in the ACC matchup. No, instead, what everyone's trying to do is create compelling matchups that work best for their game. And when I say that, it's everyone has different sponsors and everyone has different objectives. Obviously, for us, like, we have a sponsor that's very strong in the South and looking to have teams. That's why we're in the SEC and ACC, but also they want to expand. That's where that Big Ten comes in. And also we play to a national audience in terms of how our marketing goes. But, and then for us as a sports foundation, we want, you know, economic impact to Charlotte. And while these two teams, if you look at these two, they're within driving distance, that's still going to be great for Charlotte because the night after or the night before, hotel rooms will be taken up and all that stuff, particularly in a time, you know, during the holidays when they're not full. So for us, it's, we work with the conferences, we work with the other bowls. It's complicated. It is making sausage. But it isn't just like a conference allocates. There's a lot of conversations that happen throughout the years.
One more question I wanted to just follow up on the Mayo dump. How much did the Carolina Panthers, obviously it's their stadium, how much impact or how much influence do they have in the logistics of how you were going to approach that?
No, I would say they were a very important part of it because in at the same time, we use their stadium. We want to be respectful. And we want to make sure that they understand what we're doing and why. And they've completely signed off on it. They've been big supporters of everything we've done. And yeah, once again, they're on our board. So they know what our mission is and what we're doing. And it's just like, obviously, we have a very interesting world we live in. In this phase of the pandemic, we have new turf there and we want to protect that. And we want to find a way that has the most impact. And I think that allowed us to mixing that into the concoction of what we're trying to do with this Mayo dump and how we're doing it. We kind of settled on the best place for all possible parties, including the coaches, because they now have a pretty easy walk back to their locker room once they're dumped.
I do also have one final follow-up. And then, Bobak, I think we're going to go ahead and start taking in some callers with questions for Dukes.
Yes.
Excellent. All right. So this is going to be my final question before we go ahead and start opening up those lines. Y'all, if you're listening out there, go ahead and raise your hand. Put in those requests. We'll try to get to them as we can. But Miller, again, recently I covered the Tropical Smoothie Bowl up in Frisco, Texas. They served a bunch of wonderful smoothies for us. We've had other events before where the Cheez-It Bowl, plenty of Cheez-Its to be found, plenty of other food bowls that have also served food before. I can also think of things like the Zaxby's Bowls, rest in peace, back in Dallas, who also served fried chicken. But for y'all, y'all are the Mayo Bowl. What kind of mayo specialty products might we see in the press box this year?
So I think we started a really cool tradition with our classic games. I think a lot of people saw them was the custom jars that have each team's logo on each side. We posted a picture last night. All the players got them. The media will be getting those as gifts. And then also we'll be doing some sampling as people leave the stadium. And I think that's actually a really cool media gift because it's collectible. It won't like you can use it or you can keep it. and it's not bulky if you're traveling. So you can get in the stadium and out of the stadium relatively easy. I work with a gentleman named Frank Kay, who's worked with the game for 20 years. So he's like our longest tenured employee. And Frank's passion is the press box. And the email he spends like labors over the most is the press box ordering. And I always like to announce like one item from it that's particular. And he is doing a waffle bar, which I'm very excited about because we have an 11:30 game. So I think a waffle Ooh. Bar will be a big hit.
I'm now imagining him grumbling, "This is no Continental Tire Bowl." But anyway, we want to go ahead and open this up to some of you out there, and I see you all queued up. Reese, you have been, you've had your hand up for quite a while. When you get a chance, unmute yourself. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, Dukes, we meet again.
I thought we squashed.
We did. This is actually, this is not about beef. This is not about beef this time.
Okay, what's up?
I used mayonnaise today.
Oh, wow. Look at, see, this is someone who used to not eat mayonnaise, who hated mayonnaise, and it started by us disliking each other, right? You didn't like mayonnaise,
I hate
right?
mayonnaise. Me and Bobak actually go a ways back. He is the reason
that is journalism. Yeah, you photographed the Duke's Mayo Bowl for us 1 year, as I recall.
It was called the Bulk Bowl, and I wish we had media guests back then or media hospitality. Yes, we did. I did. It was great. South Carolina lost 28-0. My only question, really, though, is Mac Brown is kind of slippery as it is. Is there a contingency plan for if he does get dipped in mayo, how that post-game handshakes can go? Because he's a slippery little rascal already. And also, are there teams lined up to be in the prestigious Duke's Mayo Bowl if, say, South Carolina was to get COVID?
One, we're not going to answer that second question because there is no answer. The answer is no, and we're being as safe as possible, and we're not going to speak any of that into existence because that makes my life very difficult, and also it's a public safety and public health thing, so we're not going to joke about that. The nice thing about the way we're doing it is Coach Brown, if he wins or if Coach Beamer wins, they will not be doused in mayonnaise until after the post-game handshake. That probably wouldn't be the best look if we just covered a coach in mayonnaise and then he had to go shake hands with his friends. So we're going to do it afterwards.
Well, important follow-up there. Is this going to be televised, correct? I mean, we're going to see this right after the bowl. They're going to include it in the telecast, or at the very least, you're going to make sure to include this on the Twitter account, I can imagine.
Yes. So the first thing I did was call the ESPN producers. It will probably be broadcast on the ESPN stream of the trophy ceremony, but also because we're making sure the ESPN cameras that will be there, they'll be able to cut it and put it up quick. And then, of course, your old friend, the Duke's Mayo Bowl Twitter, will be there to capture it as well.
Now, second part of that question, could you theoretically have something installed in the stadium akin to a claw machine that you could use to pick up Mac Brown by the waist and dunk him waist first into the giant mayonnaise jar or squeezable tube?
It's a very interesting question. We're getting off the rails. I was around Coach Brown today, and he's surprisingly tall. I'll say that. Was surprised by how tall he was. I think it would be more difficult than expected.
Okay. Much love. Have a good bowl game. I will try to watch.
Absolutely love the fact that, you know, we're talking about the logistics of how are we dunking a coach in mayonnaise, and now we're somehow getting off the rails off of that.
Listen, I'm now imagining the Skycam as a crane, even though that wouldn't ever be feasible without a lot of reinforcement beyond what is currently probably.
I'm now imagining someone dressed in a Duke's Mayo container operating the crane. But, yeah. 2021's been completely off the rails. I'll be watching. Hopefully UNC does something fun. I don't know. I don't care.
Thanks for joining us, Reese. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, I see you are unable to hear from you.
What's going on? So the Dukes guy said that, that putting this bowl together was like making sausage. I thought you guys made mayonnaise.
I think mayonnaise is easier to make than sausage. I'm not the guy who makes it. Would they sponsor our game? But the ingredients seem pretty simple. I don't know how to answer that.
Hey, y'all, it was one of those fun questions. Thanks for joining us, though. We appreciate it. Colton, we've let you on. We'd love to hear from you. Sometimes it gets to be a little wonky with muting and unmuting. It'll be in the bottom left of your screen, but it looks like you are unmuted. All right, we will wait, and we're not gonna remute you. We're gonna make sure. It looks like you're still connecting. We want to keep this moving, so let's go ahead and Michael Hernandez, you are next in line. If you get a chance, unmute yourself. We'd love to hear from you. Michael Hernandez, you have the ability to unmute yourself and speak.
Hi, just out of curiosity, who are some players on South Carolina's team to look out for?
Gosh, this is going to be really horrible, but you're talking to the wrong. I've yet to dive into that. I probably should.
I have a question for you. I mean,
yeah, someone else.
As the Bulls social media person, how much of a focus do you have? I mean, what do you focus on when the teams get announced? What are your biggest interests when you're trying to build kind of the social media hype for the matchup that has been provided to you by, you know, the powers that be, which I know you do not specifically get involved with. And folks, I just want to say Miller has nothing to do with which team gets picked. He gets, for better or worse, stuck with it. But not this year. This year is an exciting matchup between North Carolina and South Carolina. But what are your interests when you're trying to kind of prepare?
Yeah, I think that's a great, and maybe hopefully this answers the question. Every year is different in terms of what I'm looking at, what's compelling. I would say there's been years where it's like, let's look at 2007, which is my favorite Duke's Mayo Bowl or Mighty Key Carcare Bowl at the time that's ever existed. It had Hakeem Nicks, had Pat White, Steve Slayton. So it was all about like these dynamic offenses going against each other. When it was, you know, Wake Forest versus Texas A&M, it was, you know, what's going on at Texas A&M? Can they put it together? You know, someone just left versus Wake Forest, which was John Wolford's last year, like capping off this kind of underdog story. And then, like, when it was Kentucky versus Virginia Tech, it was, you know, Kentucky has a quarterback and who's a wide receiver, and what is Virginia Tech? But this year it's kind of interesting because UNC, it's clearly Sam Howell. I think everyone's very interested in that. But South Carolina, it's like, what is the blueprint? And also, like, you have the big question marks of, you know, how are they going to generate offense? What is that? And how they can scheme up offense. And that's what I'm interested in. I don't think they, and especially with the quarterback situation they have, I don't really have an answer in who to look at, but I want to see how they can scheme up offense and if it's possible. And North Carolina hasn't had the best defense, so there is an opportunity there.
Thank you, Michael, for joining us there. And I totally sympathize with the answer, and that's great. That was really intriguing. Hey, Ray Gunn, we have let you up. We'd love to hear from you. I just saw you unmute yourself.
Hey, yeah, so I was really concerned about, you know, one of the things that a lot of fans in college football talk about is band inclusion and, you know, showing the marching bands, because I don't know how many people have been to a game, but, you know, I went to Alabama, and the couple of times I saw it, seeing Tennessee's band, even though I can't stand them, it's a great experience. You know, the Million Dollar Band is – it's all right, I guess, but, you know, seeing those other bands come in and play is phenomenal, and seeing what they do and how they do it. And so I guess my main question would be, is mayonnaise an instrument?
God, this meme will I love that you set that up just for this. This is why college football is a weird sport, that you spent 30
That is one of my favorite lead-ups I think I've ever heard. That was absolutely awesome.
This meme will never die. It's the bane of my existence. And now that I say that, everyone's going to tweet that at me.
It's fine and all, but please do, anybody here who has any influence, let the bands be shown on TV again, because those kids work real hard. They do amazing stuff on the field. They play excellent music. They're marching out of the stands to go for the halftime. But as a student, you're in there. You're waiting for what they're going to play, because you know the cheers. You know what to sing. College football is alone in that you know that the band is going to play something, and the students and the fans know the words, and that's what makes the energy so different. That's what makes it so great.
You know, Ray Gunn, I have a question for you. Are you, I mean, because I agree with you, but do you have a background in the band yourself?
No, I mean, I played trumpet in eighth grade because I wanted to, and I made first chair. I just like music, nice. Man. My dad was a rock DJ, and my mom was an 80s metalhead, so I just grew up liking music. But I do think I went to as much as I could, and I knew some band kids in high school, and I went to stuff at college, and they work real hard. And the main thing is, like I said, the energy that the band brings to the game, because that music gets people pumped up and it gets them hyped up. You know, no matter what, you got music playing, people are going to be excited, and the bands are really important. And then it's not just the spirit stuff they do with the songs, but they work all year on formations and what the program is that the band director is working on. It's real important for them. It's just like it's akin to a sport. They work on it. They practice, you know, they got a practice field where they work on all of that, just like a football team or any other team has. They try real hard, and people are putting in hours, and I think they need more exposure. I know it used to be on the TV back in the day, but I'm 26. I didn't get to see that. But when you're at a game, you can't help but notice it and be impressed by what they can do.
Yeah, and I'll hop in here. It's something. It's obviously, I would say it's a do better for every bowl game is how do we incorporate the bands better. We want them to have an experience, like we have them coming in the night before and things like that. And traditionally, we've always had like a fan central, which is a pretty popular event where the two bands almost they play back and forth, which is really cool. But even at halftime, so like we've had Texas A&M, which is one of the most incredible marching bands you'll ever see. I'm particularly excited that in our kickoff game, we have NC A&T versus NC Central. That's a big project of mine in this offseason, is to figure out how do we stream that live so that people can see that and be able to experience that who aren't in the stadium and give those bands the proper credit where it's due. And hopefully that's something we can expand to all our games. The unfortunate thing is, and the honest fact is, we don't really handle the broadcast during halftime, and we don't handle any aspect of the broadcast. So it's just one of those things is how do we figure it out that works within the broadcast rights.
One thing I do hope, as we kind of see this move, really it's societal. It has nothing to even do with college sports, but just societal move to more streaming options, is that we see that kind of opportunity to maybe have multiple channel broadcasts of some of these bowls. I mean, we see that with the ESPN's supercasts of some of the really high profile games like the national championship. But it would be wonderful if we saw a little bit more of that, of kind of alternate channels of the same broadcast, where you could get a chance to see what Ray Gunn was talking about, that kind of halftime performance of the bands. Because I know I agree, that is a big part of it. And I also sympathize with the fact that, you know, they're trying to generate interest for the future bowls. I mean, you're already watching that bowl. The broadcasters want you to see the next one. I mean, we get it. It's sports. It's a business. But it is a bit of a shame that we don't get to see quite as much of it as Ray has mentioned. And a lot of people, I think, agree with that. Thank you so much for joining us, Ray. We really
I really appreciate y'all having me. Get somebody else in here because they got something better than a meme.
Thanks again, man. We appreciate it. Hey, Alex Ailey, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that last name, but my name is Bobak Hayeri. So hey. Gosh knows I've been through. We'd love to hear.
Yeah. From you. No, you pronounced it perfectly. I appreciate that. So I guess I am a proud Kansas football fan, as you could probably tell by my picture. I guess I've got a question for the Mayo Bowl. Are you ready for the Jayhawks to come out and win your event next year?
Are you guys in the Big Ten?
Listen, COVID's been going for a while, right? Anyone can cancel. Let's say we get to 5 wins. Who wouldn't invite?
Oh, God. Can you the next one of these we do, I'd like for you to call in and tell me the 5 wins you're going to have next year.
Come on!
Listen, I can give you 12 off the top of my head.
Oh man, if you're ever in Charlotte, I owe you a handshake for that response. Okay, that was okay. Good.
I will take you up on that.
Oh man, thank you, Alex, for joining us. That was awesome, and I believe Lance Leopold can get Kansas into a great position. We've said it before in our previous Reddit talks, but that guy, I mean, I was impressed that he ended up in Kansas. I was excited when Buffalo hired him from Wisconsin Whitewater, because there was that whole decade where it was either Mount Union or Wisconsin Whitewater in that title game. So I think Kansas has a future. And as we know, they managed to beat Texas, you know, in Austin in overtime in that glorious game that will be memed until the end of time at the rate it's going.
And you know, the last three games, and then add in like the Oklahoma game, they looked pretty good those last. I mean, TCU took a last second field goal to beat us.
Hey, we don't need to talk about that game.
Well,
hey, that was your alma mater.
Pointing it out. Listen, I'm looking for four wins next year. If we can get to four, I'll be happy and we'll be in the right direction. But just keep your eye out for us. You know, if we get to six, don't be surprised. Remember, I told you so. Thanks, boys. Hey, I appreciate you.
We appreciate you, Alex.
Devin Love, we'd love to hear from you. Go ahead and unmute yourself. We let you up here. We'd love to hear your thoughts here with the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Oh, we lost him there. Sometimes that happens. All right. Pressed the wrong
button.
You're
about to have an internet. The next person's an internet legend, just to let you know. Well, really, he's a College Game Day legend.
Well, we have Quavo, Quavo Duancho, and I'm totally butchering that. Would you like to unmute yourself? We'd love to hear from you. All right. Maybe we have someone who fell asleep. Well, all right, Jamie, a.k.a. at Beamer Train, we have let you up here. We'd love to hear from you. Unmute yourself, and let's hear from you. It's like a race to see who can hit unmute, and knowing our luck, there's some Amazon web services hiccup that's affecting everyone.
Hey, guys.
Oh, I see someone unmuted. Oh, both did.
Hello?
All right, Quavo,
I believe you're wrong.
We'll let you go first.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Miller, how's it going?
Long time no speak. You guys know this is the guy that dumped mayo on him at College Game Day, right?
Yes.
I was going to ask. So, Miller, I'm sure you're aware that NCAA football is looking like it's going to have a release in 2023. Do you know at all if Duke's Mayo's had any talks with EA Sports about any of the branding that you guys would have to do for that?
Fun fact, that'd actually be one of my jobs. So that's probably under collegiate licensing, which randomly falls under me. So anything that has the Duke's Mayo Bowl, I have to approve any usage of it. But I believe that'd probably be under collective. I don't know where it'd fall, but nothing has happened, as you can tell by my answer.
Ah, gotcha.
That's great.
Well, yeah, I was wondering about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, yeah, I'll go back
something
to listening.
I should probably ask about.
Well, guys, I'll let you go back to listening and appreciate you guys having.
Well, hang on. Oh. While we still got you here, we've mentioned before, you know, you started the year this year in Charlotte dumping a bunch of mayo on yourself during College Game Day. I would love to hear more about this experience, starting from, first and foremost, bringing the mayo onto the game day set. Was it something that you planned to do, or was it just something that you were going to bring a jar of mayo, hope a camera looked at you, and you were going to make some magic happen?
All right, so the week leading up to this moment, my buddy Eric and I were tweeting at Duke's Mayo Bowl and Duke's Mayo's Twitter accounts, letting them know that we were planning to do something, but not quite what. And eventually it got like more like progressing. The week went on. We bought the mayo jars. We were parked outside of where like the Grove, the park is and everything. And getting to game day, we walked a mile out because we parked far away. So we walked a mile out over to the place where game day was being filmed. And I was trying to get into the pit, but the pit wouldn't allow me because I had 128 ounces of mayo on my person. And so... as one does. And so I was trying to find a way to get in, and then a couple of people were nice enough to notice that I had the jar with me. And they let me right into the front, hoping to get on cameras. And right before game day started filming, I got the attention of one of the ESPN film crew people. And she looked at me, she goes, "Are you going to dump that on yourself?" And I said, "Yes, absolutely." She says, "What time do you want?" I said, "Anytime after game day starts." So thankfully, I was able to get their attention. And around 9:30, the cameras come around. and they spot me, and I say, is this my moment? He goes, yeah, man, I mean, people do a lot of crazy stuff. And then so he puts his finger to his earpiece and goes, cut to camera six, points to me, and then after that, the mayo goes up.
I love it. By the way, we just retweeted with a quote tweet that the footage of you doing that on College Game Day's Twitter account, and that is – yeah, that is just incredible to watch that again. I forgot how into it you were. I mean, there you lived that moment, and that's what makes that. I mean, you're gonna. I love it. That's exactly what college is all about. College football is all about, at least. I love it.
Yeah. And
so
you know,
now
I grew up
the
a huge...
immediate
oh, go
follow
ahead.
Up. Yeah. Oh no, no, no. Go ahead. Go ahead first.
Oh no, I was just gonna say that. You know,
well, I was about to ask.
I'm a good college football fan, so obviously
you go. You
want
you go,
to
you, go.
You want to have a moment where you are, yeah. You want a moment where you can have that get
looks like we're having a bit of an audio difficulty there.
Yeah.
So hey, I just want to say. If you're having problems, I mean, we just want to say we appreciate you joining us, Squawk.
Yeah,
that was probably one of the greatest joins we've seen in a while. So thanks again for joining us. We really appreciate it. And if you haven't ever seen this footage, we just tweeted it out on our Reddit account, probably our Twitter account. So please go ahead and check that out. Jamie, you've been on mute for a while. We appreciate you. We'd love to hear from you.
What's going on, guys? I appreciate y'all having me on here. First and foremost, I just want to let everybody in here know there's only one Carolina, and it's South Carolina, baby. We coming up there to what, but we take Mac Brown and the boys down. But on top of that, you know, Dukes, guys, man, who are y'all going to let dunk Shane Beamer in the mayonnaise, dude? You going to let me come down there and do it, or what's up?
We have two people. Guys, I'm telling you, there is a 2-3-page document that details – every movement about this mayonnaise dunk. They didn't create a one cheater. It's like a 2-3-page cheater that who is doing it, who's allowed to be there. It'll be like roped off. I'm telling you, this has taken 14 months of my life to help plan.
God, that'd be awesome going forward in the future, though, if you like have a designated fan that gets to come down and do it. That'd be a really cool experience.
But, noted. That is going on my to-do list for next year.
Yeah. There you go. Awesome, guys. Well, I appreciate y'all letting me come on.
Thank you for joining us, Jamie. That was awesome. We appreciate it.
God, I love this.
So, Justin, we've let you up onto the stage. We'd love to hear from you. Go ahead and unmute yourself and let us know what's on your mind.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for letting me be on. First of all, I'm a huge South Carolina fan, and I'm very excited about the trip up to Charlotte. I just had a quick question in reference to all of this. As far as the stadium, I've never been before. I know at Williams-Brice, I have trouble with, you know, like connections with my cell phone and things of that nature. At Bank of America Stadium up there in Charlotte, is that an issue, or is cell phone connectivity pretty good and you can tweet and do what you want to do and interact? I'm just curious how that works and if it's something that, you know, works better than maybe here at home, in my opinion. And thank you very much for letting me be on.
No worries. That's a great question. I mean, it has improved dramatically. In fact, the past few years, I work pretty much off my phone throughout the game. So, whether it's Wi-Fi or cellular service, you should be good. And there's free public Wi-Fi in the stadium.
Awesome.
They actually invested a lot of stuff into it recently. So the city put a lot of money into the stadium. So it's in a good place.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us,
no
Justin.
Worries.
Appreciate it. I think that's the benefit of an NFL stadium as well. They have a little bit more room and budget for putting in that infrastructure. Hey, Cajun Killa 94, unmute yourself. We'd love to hear you here on RCFB Talk with Dukes Mayo Bowl.
Hey, guys, let me just ask this real quick. The mayo that will be dumped, will it be cold or will it be room temperature?
It will be room temperature. So it will be stored in a cooler throughout the game, but like the cooler is not refrigerated or anything like that. So room temperature mayo. Also, I don't think you have to refrigerate. I know you don't have to refrigerate mayo until it's open, so it should not be spoiled.
You just jinxed it. You know that, right? You just.
I probably. That... Oops.
Yeah, that's going to be spectacular one way or the other. I love it. Hey, thanks for joining us, Cajun Killer. We appreciate it.
That's a good question.
Lori G, we just went ahead and added you. We'd love to hear from you.
Hey, we're going to be there Thursday. Is there going to be any ladies' merchandise for sale? I can't find it online.
Have you checked the Bull website for it?
No, I just checked your website and your merchandise link. And it's all unisex, and it's all available for shipping after the game.
What I'm doing is shoot me a DM, okay. And I am emailing the people. We use an outside merchant, but I'll ask them right now.
Fabulous. Thank you.
No worries.
Thank you, Lori. Absolutely. All right, well, welcome. So let's see, next one up, Tyler Sweat. Sorry, I'm having a little bit of technical difficulty. There we go. Tyler Sweat, we have just sent you a message. We'd love to have you talk. Tyler, we'd love to hear from you. Just go ahead and unmute.
All right, so I'm a huge Carolina fan, and I'll be at the game on Thursday, so I'm really wondering about this mayo dump. Are we going to have team color mayo, or is it just going to be the classic white?
Classic Duke's white. I don't think that would go over too well if I propose that in a meeting, I don't know how quickly I'd get shut down. And which Carolina? You said Carolina fan. I just want clarification on which fan.
Oh, well, the only one down in Columbia. That's where I also go to school. So, yeah.
Got it.
I just love the idea of the moment the game goes final, a bunch of guys like dumping food dye really quickly with a big ladle, like looking like kind of, you know, Macbeth witches sort of stirring this thing. Because, of course, we need a Shakespeare reference in the middle of this. But, you know, I could just – that is just – oh, goodness, I love that. But, yeah, I think it wouldn't be right unless it's purely white mayo. It needs to be the essence of Duke's mayo, which is the pure mayo off-white ivory color or whatever you want to call it. But
sorry, I was reading your tweet. I saw you guys did breaking news. I just saw the winning coach. Thank you. I'm glad we broke news as a part of this.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, hey, Smith Max 13, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, I've got a question for, you know, the Duke social media guy. Did you have to push it all to get your company to kind of steer into this, or were they just as excited as you are? You know, were you doing this role before all this stuff started? How did that work out as a social media person?
Yeah, so I work for Charlotte Sports Foundation, who owns and operates the Bull. I will tell you this, the Duke's team is not only incredible people, but like the fact they're putting up money for just charitable donation to be a part of this. But also they are all into it. So they have pushed for it. They want it. They know it's a great way to get brand recognition and it matches who they are. Like in the end, it's mayonnaise. Like where it is fun. People love it or hate it, but it's a very comical thing. And the fact that they leaned into it and completely are on board and encouraging us to do this has been awesome. So it's been win-win, and I could not have picked a better sponsor for this game in terms of the whimsical nature of their condiment and also the people we work with.
Thanks again for that question. We had a follow-up, by the way, from Quavo Wancho, who said there was a question of how he got back to his car after dumping himself with all that mayonnaise.
So I know the answer to this.
Yeah, so his answer was, so I didn't have anything to clean up on me, so I'm just pure mayo covered for a mile. Funny enough, I ran into my childhood hero, CJ Spiller, on the way to the car, just absolutely covered in mayo. Some people took pictures of me, and one dude said I reeked from across the street. So that was a, that was a follow-up. From the social media legend, the viral video legend, Quavo Joncho, Wanship98, who we retweeted his famous moment in College Game Day where he dumped himself
with mayo to support the very essence of the Mayo Bowl. So anyways, we want to keep going here with questions while we have at least five more minutes. Let's see here. We just invited you up. Tyler Stevens, go ahead and unmute yourself. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, sir. How we doing? I went to both the Clemson-Georgia game and ECU App State game. I'm wondering if this game as well is going to have EO made mayo eating offs in the fans. I know they gave a lot of fans giant mayo, buckets of mayo. Can we see that again?
I think we have new ideas. I think there will be new activations, maybe even improved, maybe better. Maybe there'll be a mayo chant in the middle of it. I think they're planning on doing a bunch of really weird, strange things that are perfectly on brand for us. So I don't know if mayo eating, that may come back in the future, but there are new things planned.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Hey, Miller, who comes up with these ideas, by the way? I mean, is that something you're a part of, or is this sort of like a group thing, or does it come from Dukes, or where does this come from? I think
there's a lot of parties. It really stems. Dukes has an agency they work with. We also have a partner agency called Bespoke, who does a lot of the activations part of it. So, like, this is going into that. I didn't know they were doing the mayo eating. In fact, I sent a text message like, is that vanilla pudding? And can confirm that was actually mayonnaise they were eating. Like, I saw it online and like quickly went with it, but it was not something I really knew about ahead of time. Now I've made sure I know so I can plan ahead.
So we had Jake Hitt on here for a half second, but he seems to have vanished. So Michael Cobbs, we'd love to hear from you. Go ahead and unmute yourself. You appear unmuted, but we can't hear from you. So just unmute. We'd love to hear from you. While we're waiting for that to resolve itself, and we will get to, we promise. Hey, Jake Hitt, we saw you rejoined. We'd love to bring you back up here and allow you to unmute yourself. We know there was some technical difficulty. Hit unmute. We'd love to hear from you. Or Michael, whoever can get there first. Yep. It's always a fun thing. Okay, there we go, Jake.
Hey,
there we are.
I do have a question for this, because obviously this is in the same vein as the Belk Bowl. So I am interested in terms of the difference in the social media presence between the Belk Bowl and the Duke's Mayo Bowl on Twitter, because I do feel like they are different dynamics.
That's so interesting, but it's the same person. It's,
I know, but do you feel like it's switched up a little bit?
That's a really good question.
Has the sponsorship changed what you're allowed to do? Has it?
No, it has not changed. I think the mayonnaise has allowed me to lean into even being more absurd. So I think that certainly allowed us to go like no holds barred, try a lot of different things. And I think the interesting thing, the general tone hasn't changed, because I grew up, like, a big thing you'll see, and I've realized like the past few years you see in the account is, like, it's really passionate. Like, it is very proud of the game. And I think that comes from the fact that, like, I grew up going to this. So this is, like, coming from my, like, personal, like, I guess part of the bowl is, like, I grew up going to this game. So I'm very passionate and proud of having it in Charlotte. And that comes across. And also, like, I'm a generally pretty weird person and into the weird college football internet. And that comes out. But changing sponsors probably, now that you've asked, has allowed at least me and the staff to try a lot of new things. Like, our big marketing graphic that we did with paid social media was mayonnaise on a hot dog. Like, we've done a lot of different things that are just strange that we never would have tried before.
Great. That's awesome.
That was a great question. We really appreciate it.
Yeah,
that was really smart.
We respect your time. Do you want to – should we go ahead and wrap it up, or did you want to answer a few more?
We can go to like 10:15, and then I need to sleep at some point.
No, I totally understand. This has got to be the crazy week for you with everything. Hey, Michael, I know you've been on a little while. Can you unmute yourself? We'd love to hear from you. Michael.
Helvins is better.
Oh, there we go. Hey, go ahead. We can hear you.
Don't. You can mute him. He has bad opinions. I don't know if you guys, I won't repeat what he said, but it wasn't appropriate. He can get out of here.
All right. We're cool with that. Shelby Bounds, we've gone ahead and let you in. We'd love to hear from you.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
All right, so what is your deal? Why do you always tweet against SEC? I'm genuinely curious.
Ooh. SEC?
Yeah, there's always – I've always noticed in the Reddit college football, like, Twitter, that there's always, like, something against SEC, and I was just wondering what the beef was.
Okay, so wait, is this a Reddit question or a Dukes question? Because I don't want to put our guests on the spot if it's about us.
Okay, well, what is going to be the consistency of the mayo that's going to be poured on the coach?
It will be – there's just a little, and then it's, like, whipped up really well. So it will be like a thick liquid coming out and then chunks. And I will say – I have no, like, I don't think our account is against SEC, but I do make fun of the school I went to the most. I will say that.
Well, I will say this: when we talk about USC, I tend to dig deep because of my own connections. Not South Carolina. I'm not going to say the real USC, but the other USC, the one on the West Coast. But I can relate to that. It's easier to dig deep against your own particular alma mater than it is against some of the other schools. But Shelby, we really appreciate it. That was an interesting question, and we appreciate it a lot. Thanks for joining us. All right, Thomas. Thomas, we want to get you in here because we're trying to get as many folks as we can in here. Unmute yourself. We'd love to hear from you, Tom.
Just want to say, whoever said that the real USC is in California is a little disrespectful to the Gamecocks. There's one USC in North and South Carolina, and that's what matters this weekend. But anyway, Cox by 90, big Cock energy this weekend. Carolina 31, North Carolina 0. That's my prediction. Bye.
I love it. And you know what? That was on me, by the way. Don't blame Dukes for that. I'm the jerk who started talking about USC. So don't blame Dukes Mayo Bowl at all for that. That is me. My name is Bob Akairi. I am the host here at Reddit RCFB, along with my friend JD Moore, who is not a USC alumnus, so don't blame him either. But thank you for that. We appreciate it. Let's see here. Next we have, oh goodness, this is going to be fun for me because I have a name that's equally complicated. Rashad, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm a senior at Carolina. All these people are saying that the real Carolina is in South Carolina. Makes no sense. We're the oldest public school in the country, so that's that. But the thing I would ask is, what are the logistics? I might have missed this. What are the logistics on when the dump is happening? Is it after the trophy presentation? That's one. And then two, I'm just imagining Mac dumping this onto himself and then trying to clean it off. Like, are y'all going to give this old man anything to take it off?
Yeah. So it will happen after the trophy presentation. Personally, I hope he's wearing, this is just me speaking, that poofy Jordan jacket. Like, it's just like a, that's when I close my eyes, and if your Carolina wins, I see him in just a wet, poofy Jordan jacket covered in mayonnaise. And it brings me a lot of joy when I think about that. But we will help him clean it off, and I think we're probably going to, like, give them gear they can wear and then strip it off, and then it's an easy walk to the locker room.
That's awesome.
Because then they have to go do, like, post-game conferences and stuff like that. So we don't want to, like, ruin the rest of their day.
Right.
I love it. Rashad, thank you again. That question. I'm glad we got that answer.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much. Hey, Daniel, we'd love to hear from you.
Hey, so my question is, I'm a staff member at USC for the football team, and I'm just curious if you guys are going to have any, like, pregame or, like, halftime snacks of, like, packets of mayo, just in case I get hungry working. I didn't know if you guys were going to have any for staff.
Depends on where you're going to be. Like, where are you going to be for the game?
I'll be on the USC sideline, so I don't know. You know, if you guys have the Gatorade tubs there with, you know, some like kind of to go cups for me or what? I was just kind of curious.
I'll just slip into your locker room and just leave you a couple packets. Just let you know where they are, and you can go get them at half.
Yeah, that would be great. I would absolutely love that.
Perfect. Done.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you, Daniel, for joining us. We appreciate it. All right, Carolina Fever. I have a feeling I can tell which team you're for, but go ahead and unmute yourself, and we'd love to hear from you.
Hey, what's up? This is Carolina Fever. We're the official student organization for UNC Athletics. I'm just wondering, I'm super excited to go to the game. What kind of food options with mayonnaise are going to be available for fans? Like, I'm thinking BLTs, pimento cheese. Like, what are we going to have in the stadium?
First off, this isn't the Masters. We're still working out of an NFL stadium. But I would say, like, the Panthers games I've been to, it's pretty good food. And it's dependent on where you're at. So I would say, like, if you're, like, in club seating, there's, like, nachos and things like that you can go for. There's, like, also, like, Krispy Kreme donuts. There's craft beer. There's a bunch of stuff. And then, like, you have your traditional food. I do believe Duke's is the mayonnaise of the stadium. So it's not going to be like remember, like, Papa John's used to sponsor a game? The PapaJohns.com bowl, and then they couldn't sell Papa John's like pizza. I don't think we have one of those situations.
You're not amateurs. You're not dealing with amateurs at the Duke's Mayo Bowl. That's for sure, Carolina Fever.
It's not amateurs. It's just contracts with. It's complicated. Everything.
Oh, we know. We know. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us, Carolina Fever. All right, Football Derek, we want to hear from you.
What's up, guys? I was just asking for tailgating. What's the best beer to pair with the mayonnaise? Got to keep the big cock energy rolling watching Carolina stomp Carolina.
It's very confusing when you say that, the Carolina is Carolina. I'm Googling it right now. There is a beer I should know. I'm typing it. If you Google Duke,
I love
Mayo
it. Are you
beer.
Small, a beer sommelier for the mayo? I love it.
No, I'm a
Bush Light sommelier, personally, but I would love to expand if Duke's Mayo tells me I have to.
Champion Brewing in Charlottesville, which is close to where Duke's is headquarters, they did a beer that is meant to pair with mayonnaise. So it's called...
I believe it's called Family Recipe. It's a Vienna-style lager. 5.1 ABV, 27 IBU.
Yep, just Google it. It's there. You should try that.
We'll grab a couple of cases and get weird. Appreciate it, boys.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Appreciate you.
Hey, Juan Melancho, you're back. We'd love to hear from you.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hello again.
All right. So a quick question from Miller here. So I only dumped the 1 gallon of mayo on myself when I had my moment. The winning head coach, how many gallons are going to be in those, in whatever receptacle you're using to dump on them?
I'm Googling Gatorade cooler to see how many gallons. Gatorade cooler gallons. You guys are listening to me answer this real time. I believe it's a 10 gallon, so I'd say it's probably going to be like 6 gallons of mayo.
Nice.
What's that metric? Sorry, just kidding. I'm totally.
We're in the American South. We don't do that.
All right. Did you guys have any other questions?
It was great hearing from you again, man. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, okay. We're good.
You're a legend. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Brody Williamson, we'd love to hear from
you. Hey, how's it going, guys? I got a question for both of you. The first one is, what is your favorite food to put mayo on? And the second one is have you ever heard of mayo, peanut butter, and banana sandwiches?
I've heard of mayo and banana sandwiches, but never the peanut butter. I mean, I'm a classic person. I had the tomato sandwich, which is made with 2 pieces of bread, mayonnaise on both sides, salt and pepper on both sides, with the tomato in the middle, like a sliced tomato. You eat that at the beach in the summer. There's like no better food.
Yep, I agree with that.
Oh, and it has to be Duke's Mayo as well. Like, and that's not like me sponsor or anything like that. Duke's Mayo just tastes significantly better on a tomato sandwich.
As well as a tomato that is homegrown from a farm. It makes a huge difference.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I'll answer that question for me as well. So I was born and raised in Hawaii, and one of the staples in Hawaii is the plate lunch. And in that plate lunch, it is always served with some type of protein and then 2 scoops of white rice and 1 scoop of macaroni salad. And you need a good proper mayonnaise in order to make it taste correct. And I would say that's hands down my favorite thing to involve mayo with.
Bless all of you. I can't even get near that stuff. sorry Dukes, I didn't mean to you didn't hear that was nothing.
We'll convert you.
Brody, that was an awesome question. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks guys.
Sickos committee, hey, what is up? We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, so I'm just a lowly committee member. I'm not like the commissioner or anything. I'm just representing today. First question, if Duke's Mayo were to sponsor a positional award or some sort of like season award, what position, what achievement would you give an award for to a college football player?
God, that's a great question. Also, can we be a part of the Sick?
Like, I think you really, honestly, you just have to appreciate Sickos football, and you're sort of in.
Okay, I think we're in. Judging by us, I tell you what. While I talk, Google will Monday Belk Bowl punt, and that's our favorite play of all time. And let me know if that like counts as a Sickos.
I'll look that up.
So position. Immediately, I thought offensive line, but I feel like that is maybe too generic. I would say like. I don't know. We'll say like this, like a pulling guard. We want to get like the best pulling guard, just like blindsiding, like a unsuspecting weak side linebacker. Like that's the award we want to do. It's just like the mayhem of someone not seeing something coming and being hit by someone far larger than them.
Yeah, I like that one. second question. And I'll hang up and listen. I forgot what it was. All right. We had a representative of our committee actually down in the Frisco Bowl, not the hastily assembled Frisco Classic Bowl, but the first one. And I wonder if, I don't know if we have any current members in Charlotte that are planning to attend the game, but do you think we could get a committee press pass for any future Mayo Bowl events?
Potentially future. This one we've closed out credentialing. But with that said, if anyone's in the area, I'll gladly say hello. If I have time on game day or the day before or even after the game, like happy to say hello to anybody and slip them a mayo jar.
I will absolutely
appreciate it
for how awesome Miller is. He is one of the greats in college football. But hey, Sickos committee, we love everything you do. Thank you for joining us. It was a thrill to be able to let you into the talk. When I saw you were in the queue, it was awesome. So thank you. All right. Samuel, Latower. I might be butchering that completely. JD, you may not.
Hey, you got it right.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Really? Samuel Litauer. How are you doing, buddy? Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hey, doing great and excellent pronunciation. Oh, you there?
What kind of question might you have for us in the Duke's Mayo Bowl?
Hey, JD, Dukes, Reddit, thanks so much for having me. Well, I'm a big Dukes Mayo fan, had it earlier today on my lunchtime sandwich, nothing better. And I'm also a big App State fan. So, Dukes Mayo Bowl, I'd love to hear your take on Cincinnati in the college football playoff. And if Cincinnati is to beat Alabama in the upcoming semifinal, what kind of impact would that have for programs like Appalachian State, who are in the cliff, one of the best, and clawing to get into an elite bowl like Duke's Mayo Bowl?
First off, let me say, as a Furman alumni for undergrad, it is very tough to admit that App State has done very well at the FBS level, and it is true, and it hurts to admit that. In 2005, you guys beat us in the semifinals, I was a chubby exclamation point at the end of Furman and at your stadium, freezing in 30 degree weather, shirtless, and it was miserable. One of the greatest worst moments of my life. But I think let's work backwards. I think there is great hope. I think if the playoff expands, I think that's obviously helpful for everybody. I think Cincinnati essentially has to play a competitive game, because I don't know the CFP committee, but I think that they are looking for faults when it comes to non-Power 5 conferences. But I will say, just to flip it back to us, if Cincinnati wins and does well, as a winner of one of our games, because they've won a Belk Bowl, that looks good for Appalachian State, which has won a Duke's Mayo Classic game. So the clear line to you guys making to the college football playoff is based on if Cincinnati wins their game.
Love to hear that, and would love to see a Cincinnati victory. Big victory for Group of Five, and big victory for Appalachian State as well. So, cheering on Cincinnati.
Thanks, Samuel. We appreciate it. Hey, Dukes, how are you feeling? I mean, we don't want to keep you longer than your bedtime. We know it's been a really busy week for you.
Let's do three more.
All right, you got it. Neil, you're up. We'd love to hear from you. Unmute yourself.
What's up, y'all? Just wanted to say go Heels. Excited for them to take on the Mickey Mouse USC. I just had one question. Is there going to be any plan to prevent a Graham Mertz situation that we had last year where he broke the trophy.
God. I don't know how you prevent that. That trophy has been, there's so many headaches around that trophy. The thing is, it's so expensive and so nice. It's Waterford Crystal. And the odd thing about that trophy was like it had like a chip or something in it last year, and a replacement was on its way. So it was like it was kind of the perfect horrible incident. So it was like perfect for it helped us like have a great story around the bowl. It like did a lot of attention, but also there was a placement on the way. This year, we've created videos, we're making jokes about it, but I don't know. Like if it breaks again, I think we might like. There's been one guy whose job it's been to get the trophy here and in one piece. I swear he might cry if it breaks.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Thanks again, Neil. We appreciate it. Hey, Jamie, we just noticed you jumped in again. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, guys, man, thanks for having me back again. Hey, just for the Carolina, the UN stink fan earlier that said North Carolina's the only Carolina, buddy, you just don't know what you're talking about. You need to hit your classes, and maybe you'd understand we are your daddy. You know, we are the home of Duke's mayonnaise, too, so if you think we're not winning this game, buddy, you're wrong, all right?
We like to think of a pre-1714 Carolina where everyone's joined together before it's split into two colonies.
You did your homework on this. I love that.
This is a fun fact. I studied South Carolina history, and I was a history undergrad, which means I shouldn't be doing this job. But I had to dress as a colonist in Charleston for a summer, and I had to learn the history of the Carolinas, which was like
wait for real. Summer. Like, were you like working?
Yeah.
In
there's like, pictures of me like firing muskets better? And stuff like that.
Oh, that's all.
Not a Confederate. If someone said that, I was as part of it was like 1619, the colony being founded.
So photos of that on the official count when?
Yeah, we'll do a challenge or something. The day I get mayonnaise dumped on me, well, we might do that to get me out of it or something. I don't know. I'm getting delirious.
So, Duke,
Jamie, we love you, man. Thank you for joining us,
bro. What's the final score prediction? Who's winning?
I'm going to say the easy cop out thing that everyone hates. I think Carolina's going to win.
Ah,
in 9 overtime.
That damn bird.
Hey, Steven, we want to hear from you.
Excellent. Well, look, I just want to say I've had pretty much every mayo on the face of the earth, and as soon as I tried Duke's, I knew that was the GOAT, and people don't realize Duke's mayo is the, like, prime Alabama dynasty mayo. So I guess my question is the goal to be a playoff sponsor? Because to me, I think that's where this is all headed.
Why stop at that? I think we can exceed the playoffs. No. Okay. I think no.
Super Bowl, baby.
Very, yeah.
Super Bowl.
This is the perfect question to end on. I don't think anyone knows what the future of college football is, like, especially as the playoff expands and what it means for bowls, whether the expansion means on campus, whether it means in bowls or in cities. I think there's pluses to both. I'm a college football fan. I love having games in state in colleges. I also work for an organization that hosts large events in cities that are great for the city I love. So I see both sides. A lot of people ask, like, do we want to see us in the college football playoff? Would love it. It'd be great. It'd be great for the city. But also, I think what we've done with this bowl, and I think Duke's as a sponsor, and if you guys haven't tried Duke's, it is superior. I say that as someone who grew up on it. You should, if you like mayonnaise, if you don't, you should try it. But I think that we are positioned as a bowl to always have relevance because I think as a staff and as a sponsor and hopefully how we view ourselves as a brand, we see the sport for what it is. It's little communities like this that matter, that people who cares are up at 10:20 on a, you know, random, I think it's a Monday night, talking about a bowl game that's happening at 11:30 on a Thursday morning. Like, that's the community of college sports, or that's the community of college football. And that's what's beautiful. And I think as long as you guys hold us accountable to staying true to that and recognizing that's the important thing, I think our game will be relevant. Sorry to get on the soapbox, but I feel like that was a good place to end.
Boom. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, Miller, we really appreciate you joining us tonight. And all of you out there, who are listening, all of you out there who've asked questions, I apologize we couldn't get to everybody, but, you know, time, unfortunately, is a limit to all. And Miller's got a busy week ahead of him because he's got to get ready for this game that's coming up. And I hope all of you get a chance to tune into the Mayo Bowl because it is one of those great moments, especially when we get to see the Mayo dump at the end of the game. But you won't know until you see North Carolina and South Carolina battle it out in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Do you want to tell us anything else as we sign off here?
No, I'm close. Thanks so much. Thanks for everyone's time. It's, I mean, the fact that people are listening to us just talk about this fun game is awesome. Enjoy it. It's Thursday at 11:30 on ESPN. Enjoy the game. Don't go to work or watch it on your second monitor or just come to the game. It's going to be a beautiful day, hopefully. I don't even know. I haven't looked at the weather.
I hope
you, Miller, we appreciate you.
For all non-college football fans, you can just tell them that this is a playoff game and they won't know any better.
Perfect. Exactly.
And Miller, as we're signing off here, where can people find some more Duke's content online? We obviously know the Twitter account, but where else might they find you outside of a TV broadcast?
Yeah, I'd say Twitter, Instagram, if Facebook we just run ads on. And that's really it. Like, we try to engage people there. I think we're just trying to, we're obviously on Reddit and hop in occasionally, and then that's it. I think the more places you space out and try to do stuff, you kind of lose the most powerful things you have. And that's when we're focusing on just staying on these three platforms. And then obviously watch it, websites, all that jazz.
We are so glad you joined us tonight, Miller. We really appreciate it. On behalf of JD, myself, Bob Akairi, and all of us out here who've had a chance to join this Twitter space on RCFB Talk 10. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate it. And enjoy the game on Thursday between North Carolina and South Carolina.